This is a very interesting discussion in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is talking about Dharma. There's some Bhagavad Gita, has 18 chapters. So Krishna is talking about different types of Dharma. Varna Dharma and Ashram Dharma. And ultimately he talks about Swadharma. Swadharma. So I have some notes here. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes karma and doing your duty. And he's trying to convince Arjuna to act as a Kshatriya. Because that's his dharma. That's called Kshatriya Dharma. This is given in Dharma Shastras. This is not Swadharma. You can say it's his own dharma. It's body dharma. It's the dharma relating to his body being a Kshatriya. But it's not Swa, meaning a Sarup. It's not Sarup Dharma or the dharma of the Atma. It's a dharma of the body, and the body changes. Today's Vaishya can be tomorrow's king. Krishna was a Vaishya in Vrindavan and a king in Mathura. Parasaram was a Brahmin and he acted as a Kshatriya. So body dharma can change. But Swadharma, the dharma of the Atma, never changes. So Krishna talks a lot about karma in the Bhagavad Gita. And he glorifies karma in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at the... But later, however, Krishna, he tells Arjuna that you're my friend. He says, Saketi. He says, you're my friend. So I'm going to tell you a secret. After speaking the 500 shlokas of the... After speaking 500 shlokas on karma, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, if you actually examine it, you see that Krishna is speaking about, out of 700 shlokas, everyone knows there's 700 shlokas in Gita, about 500 of them are all about karma. And Indians, if they know anything about, Bhagavad Gita, usually they say Bhagavad Gita means do your karma. And they quote a few verses from the fifth chapter or the sixth chapter, which of course are about karma. And says, and then they say, and they're very righteous about it, self-righteous, and they say, oh, I'm following Gita. I'm following Gita. Krishna says in Gita, karma nas eva karma yadikaras, whatever it is. Do your karma. He told Arjuna, do your karma. And I'm doing my karma. I'm Mr. Agarwal. I'm a Vaishya. I'm doing my karma. But that's the beginning of the book. But in any book, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's a conclusion. If you read some novel, and you only read the first chapter, and you start going around telling everybody, oh, I read the book War and Peace. I read the first chapter. How will you know how the plot develops? How will you know what the final point of the book is? So if someone cuts off 12 chapters of Gita and says, oh, I'm following Gita, the first 6 chapters. What about the other 12? And what is the actual intention of the Bhagavad Gita? The intention of the teacher? The teacher is Krishna. What is his intention? What does he want to convey? He wants to convey everyone to do karma? Is that why that's why he took the trouble to speak the Bhagavad Gita? And Vyasa included it in the middle of Mahabharata. So this is, but because we're cheaters by nature, it's one of our contaminations, Vipralipsa, Brahm, and Karanaktva. There's 4 defects, and one of them is cheating propensity. So we look for our way out. We always look for the easy way out, as they say. The bottom line, the easy way out. Cut the corners. Can I bribe my way? I remember once I wanted to get an Indian driver's license. And my friend, he asked me, he said, do you want to go the regular way and get a driver's license? Or do you want to get one fast? He said, if you want to go the legal way or the regular way, it may take all day. You have to go to this office and then that office and then this office and that office and this office and that office and go to the back and the front and the top and the bottom, and you finally get your thing, and then you go to some place where they have a Polaroid machine and they take your picture, and then they give you a lamination with your picture on the license. It'll take all day and it'll cost about 200 rupees. Something like that. He said, but if you give me 300 rupees, I can get you one in an hour. So naturally, you want to go for the fast way. But being a law-abiding citizen, I went the slow way. And true to his word, I spent the whole day. went to the fourth floor, and then filled out one form, and then took that to the first floor, and then went out of the building to the back of the building, and then here and there, and then stood in line and got a number, then waited for my turn at the machine, because there was one machine for 10,000 people. One photographing machine. Typical Indian economy. Make 10,000 people wait in line. This is the Indian way. Service is not our business. In America, the offices and businesses, they have a motto, service is our business. Your pleasure is our business. But in India, your distress is our business. So all these shlokas are there. 500 out of 700 shlokas in Gita are all about karma. But then when Krishna, he takes Arjuna aside, finally, after telling about karma and jnana and yoga and everything, and even about bhakti, and the three modes of nature, and Ishvara tattva, and Jiva tattva, and Kala tattva, and Karma tattva, and Prakriti tattva. And finally, in the 18th chapter, he says a series of verses. He says, Iti te jnanam akhyatam guyataram maya vimrishyaitad asheshena itechasi tatau kuru. And the verse after this, which is not included here, is that he uses a lot of, in these verses, Krishna uses the word guya. Guya and guyataram. Guya means like gufa or gupta, means hidden, confidential. And he says guyataram means the most, very confidential. And the next verse he says is not here, but it says sarva guyatamam. Guyatamam means the utam, the topmost secret thing. So after telling all this general knowledge about general dharma, body dharma, ashram dharma, varna dharma, kshatriya is a varna dharma, vaishya is a varna dharma, shudra is a varna dharma, brahman is a varna dharma. But this, then he tells about swadharma. So he says, actually Arjuna, I want to tell you the most secret thing. I've explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, then do what you wish to do. Then the next verse, which is not here, he says that, now I'm going to tell you the sarva guyatamam, the secret of all secrets, the real point of why I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita to you and to everyone who's following in your footsteps. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. What is the message of Bhagavad Gita? And then the next verse is manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mamnamaskru mame vaishasi satyamte pratijane priyosime. Because you're my priya, and you're priyajana, you're very dear to me, pratijane. You're dear, priya, you're very dear to me, you're my friend. So I'm going to tell you the actual fact. Generally I was telling you do your kshatriya dharma. Then now he's saying forget about it. Actually, I don't care about your kshatriya dharma. What I'm going to tell you now, your swadharma. What is your swadharma? Oh, what is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is not to do your karma and make money and maintain your family and send your little kiddies to school and buy clothes for them. And everyone says, I'm doing my karma. I'm following Bhagavad Gita. I'm doing my karma. I'm making money. I'm eating. I'm mating and defending. I'm following Bhagavad Gita. I'm making money. I'm eating. I'm having sex. Eating, sleeping, wearing nice clothes and driving a nice car. I'm following Bhagavad Gita. Well, so are the pigs then. The pigs are also following Bhagavad Gita because they have nice clothes and they eat nicely and they become very fat just like you, and they have sex, and then they're doing their dharma. They're following Bhagavad Gita. They're doing their karma. Karma means action, acting according to their nature. Every living entity's nature is to enjoy. in a conditioned state, they're living into these natures to enjoy separate from Krishna. So you're doing the same thing in the name of Krishna, which is it's a cheating. You're not following Bhagavad Gita. You're bogus. You're bogus. Rascal number one, as Prabhupada would say. You're smoke, like Prabhupada's analogy, smoking through the hand of someone else. Smoking through the hand of someone else is a very clever phrase. Someone else has a cigarette in their hand, and you take their hand and you go, and someone says, "Oh, you're smoking." "No, no, I'm not smoking. He's smoking. It's his cigarette." Because he's holding in his fingers like that, and you took his hand and went. So it's like you're taking Bhagavad Gita, you know, it's Krishna's words, and he's telling, this is what he's telling, always think of me, not your wife and your genitals. Always think of me, become my devotee. Worship me, not your wife and children and your boss. Madhyaji, ma namaskar, and offer obeisances to me, not your wife and husband or your boss. Mami vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosami. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Then what's the next verse, which some people have some vague idea of? The verse immediate after is Krishna is saying, do this. Krishna is saying, this is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita, is this one shloka, which is also repeated in a similar way in chapter 9, the Man Manabha Mad Bhakto, that line is the same. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita, become Krishna's devotee, be devoted to Krishna, work for Krishna, serve Krishna, not be devoted to your wife and kids and your body, and work for your body and your sense happiness. Work for Krishna's happiness, offer your homage to Him, worship Him, bow down to Him. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Although there are only a few verses about this, there's 500 verses about karma, but this is the essence, this is the conclusion. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. And then, so he says, this is it. This is your swadharma, Arjun. This is the dharma. This is the religious activity. This is religious duty. Like people say, I'm doing my dharma, I'm doing your duty. You're doing your body duty. What about your atma duty? Atma dharma. Bhagavad Gita is about atma dharma, the ultimate dharma. That's your swa. Swa means you, my very self, my swarup, swarup dharma. My swarup dharma, my atma dharma, is to love Krishna. You can't think of someone all the time unless you love them, unless you're attached to them, or you hate them. Either one. But both are attachments. You're attached out of love or attached out of hate. Raga and dvesha. Either you hate someone, you always think of them, like Kamsa. He hated Krishna, wanted to kill him, but he's always thinking of him. So one side he's saying, I want to kill him, the other side he's thinking of Krishna. So every time he said, I want to kill him, he's thinking of Krishna, so he got purified from that hateful thought. That's why he got liberated. He was simultaneously contaminating his consciousness by desire to kill Krishna and purifying his consciousness by meditating on Krishna. Like plus one, negative one. And Krishna blessed him because his mind was becoming purified by thinking of Krishna. But his motivation and inclination were negative. So that was contaminating. That was demoniac. Yashoda is also always thinking of Krishna. She's also fully attached to Krishna, but out of love, to serve him, to please him, to make him happy, not to kill him out of hatred. So attachments there on both sides, attachment and hate, attachment and love. So he's saying, do this. This is your swadharma, Arjuna. Do this. Always think of me. Become my devotee. And that's the yama and the niyama. The niyama and the niyama. So now the next verse he says, and don't do this. This verse he's saying, 1864, do this. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm teaching in Bhagavad Gita to you and to all human beings. To all Aryans, all spiritually enlightened people, spiritually enthused and encouraged people who want to follow the spiritual life. Now I'm going to give the conclusion. Forget about all those 500 verses I talked about karma and do your dharma, your varna dharma, your kshatriya dharma. What do I say in this verse? Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papegyo mokshayishami masucha. Now he's saying after 500 verses about do your dharma, he's saying all that dharma I talked about, all that sarva dharma, all that dharma, all that body dharma, all that varna dharma, kshatriya dharma, brahman dharma, and vaishya dharma, because he says krishigo rakshya vanijyam. He said this is a vaniya. This is their dharma. Krishigo rakshya vanijyam. Krishigo raksha. Go raksha. Protect the cows. Krishi. Farming. Krishigo raksha vanijam, business, banking, commerce. This is the duties of the Vaishya. This is the Varna Dharma for the Vaishya. Heroism, courage, determination, prowess in battle. This is the activities for the Kshatriya, Kshatriya Dharma. Now he's concluding his whole teaching, his whole dialogue by saying, all that Dharma, parityaja. Throw it out, reject it, forget about it. Sarva Dharman. Just love me, and depend on me, and have faith in me, and don't be afraid. Mashuchaha. Don't have any fear, forget all these Dharmas. This is the Bhagavad Gita. And everything else that people are saying in the name of Bhagavad Gita is cheating. They're cheating themselves and trying, not really cheating anybody but themselves. So we as followers of Bhagavad Gita, genuine practitioners, we should be very clear. What is the message of Bhagavad Gita? This is the Swadharma. 1864, 65, 66. These three verses, this is the guts of the Bhagavad Gita. The heart of the matter. May lose your arm, may lose your leg, or both legs and both arms. If you lose your heart, you lose everything. And you take care of your arms and very nicely, your legs very nicely, but you don't take care of your heart, then katam hogyu. So this Bhagavad Gita, the heart of Bhagavad Gita, these three shlokas. So this is what is seen. Sarvagu yattamam bhuvaha. Shriname paramam vachaha. Because you are my friend and dear devotee, listen to my supreme instruction. So people, actually when people hear this verse, this is interesting, all the karmavadis, all the adherents to this karma philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, when they also know this verse, many Indians, they're completely absorbed in their body karma, body dharma, body dharma, or dharm, as you say. But when they have some familiarity with this verse, but what do they think this verse means? They think that Krishna is not really saying to give up all duties and dharmas. But actually he's saying this, but actually he is saying this clearly in Bhagavad Gita. And also in Uddhava Gita. In Uddhava Gita in 11th canto, which everyone is supposed to read conjointly, study Uddhava Gita especially, because that parallels Uddhava Gita. There are many chapters of 11th canto, but we've gleaned out the ones that are particularly relevant to the corresponding chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna had three disciples, basically. Or let's say three disciples. Does anyone know who they are?
Arjuna, Uddhava.
Who was the first one? Besides these two. Has anyone heard of Brahma? Have you heard of Brahma? He has four heads. Chaturmukh. Brahma. Brahma was the first disciple of Krishna. Krishna spoke to Brahma. Brahma spoke to whom? Who did Brahma speak to?
Narada.
Who?
Narada
Muni. Who did Narada Muni speak to?
Yes.
So the first disciple of Krishna was Brahma, the second disciple was Arjuna, the third disciple was Uddhava. So Uddhava Gita and Bhagavad Gita are both the teachings of Krishna. So they parallel, they talk about three modes of nature, dharma. There's a verse in Uddhava Gita where he says, dharma, dharman, satya. Krishna tells the same thing. He tells Uddhava to give up all dharmas. So Krishna is actually instructing in this verse everyone to give up their naimittic and nitya karmas, which means occasional and daily duties prescribed for the varnashram system, and engage only in pure devotion. People born in the West are somewhat fortunate because they're outside of the varnashram dharma system. They don't have to worry about so many of these duties and things that have to do. When you're born in the varnashram system, if you're born in a Brahmin family or Kshatriya family, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do this and that. And this is enjoined in the Dharma Shastras. There's 20 Dharma Shastras. And so people are very attached to those things. They have difficulty when they come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, now Varnashram Dharma is pretty much kaput, even in India. People are all Shudras. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra, in the Kali Yuga, everyone's born with it. Kali is a Shudra. However, Indians born within a Varnashram Dharma society, they still worry about, do I have to do this, do I have to do that? Do I have to do the Shraddha ceremony? Do I have to do Navaratri Puja? Do I have to do Monday fast? Do I have to give Pindadan? Do I have to observe Ganesh Chaturthi? They have all these attachments to all these things. It's simple, just become a devotee. And this is the easiest and highest path. You don't have to think if you have to give up this. But Indians, they have to think, oh, if I give this up, then others will harass me. It's a problem for Indians to take up pure devotional service. In the Bhagavatam, the same point is discussed in the first canto by Narada Muni. He said that verse, the Prabhupada quotes, Tyaktva sudharmam charanam bhujam hare vajanapa quote patetido hari yadi. That's in the first canto, fifth chapter. Probably always, this is very famous. 17th verse. Tyaktva sadharman charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakwa tva patetato yadi yatrakva va badram abuddha mushikim kavartapto bhajatam sadharmata. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Apakwa. Paka and apaka. Right? It's ripe and unripe. So bhajan apakwa. His bhajan is not ripe. Patate. Patate means fall down. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Because you're engaged in your varna dharma, and if you make a slight discrepancy in your yagya or your homa or whatever you're doing, then you lose everything and get nothing. And even whatever you do, if you do it properly and successful, it's all karmakanda. And it simply gives you some promotion or some benefit in the material world. It doesn't give you anything spiritually. Or move you in the direction of God or liberation, spiritual liberation. But anything you do in devotional service, even if you're unsuccessful and you take another birth, you start off where you left off because your devotional credits carry with you to the next life. So this verse Narada is telling, don't worry about your varna dharma, your duties as a grihastha, brahman, kshatriya, shudra, and your ashram dharma. Give up your swadharma and do bhakti. The real swadharma, what is the real swadharma of the jiva? Jiva dharma. It's bhakti. There's two types of dharma. One related to the material body, and one related with the soul. In the varnashram dharma, it's related with the body. Because kshatriyas and brahmins, vaishyas, they're designated, they're designations which pertain to our material body, not to the soul. Although sometimes these dharmas are called swadharma, that's what people say. They say, I'm doing my dharma. This is my swadharma. As a kshatriya, as a vaishya. People say that. They call this swadharma, but swa means one's own, and dharma means duty or religion. But it's really not our swadharma, because we're not this material body. It's not our sarup. We are not the body. We are unnecessarily identifying this body and saying, this is my dharma. Because in this life you may be a Shudra, or you may be a Vaishya. If you follow your Vaishya Dharma, Varna Dharma very nicely, then next life you may take birth and get the body of a Brahmin, be promoted up the Varna scale of Varnas. So now again you have another designation, another Upadhi designation. Now you're a Brahmin and you have different Dharmas. But the Sarup is the same, the Jiva is the same, the Atma is the same. The changing body is changing swadharmas, but what is the real swadharma, which is unchangeable? As the soul is unchangeable and immovable, so is the eternal dharma. The fact is that our real sarup is that we are spiritual, eternal conscious entities, part and parcels of Krishna, amshas of the Lord. Mavayav amsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manakshastrani indrani prakriti stani karshati. Therefore our swadharma is actually devotion, because the part is only has a meaning if it's in relation to the complete whole. We're an amsha, mama amsha. Krishna says, mamayavamsha, jivaloke. The jiva in this world is my part. We are part of the greater whole. Like a screw falls out of a machine, it's a little tiny part. And when it's put back in the machine, that's its proper position. And it has some function there and some utility there. So we are meant, we're actually meant for the complete whole. If we take up bhakti, devotional service to God, then there's no question of fall down. Because you can't fall down from your eternal sarup. That's a very interesting point. In other words, if you are a Brahmin, and you don't execute your Brahmin dharma, your varna dharma as a Brahmin properly, you will fall down. You don't do your ainik, daily ainik, and don't do your pancha yagya, daily yagyas, and don't do all your duties, then that's, you'll get reaction. That gets sinful reaction for not doing your varna dharma. And that sinful reaction means you'll fall down and become a sudra in your next life, maybe less. You get punished for neglecting your duty. This is how it works. But in bhakti, that's what it says, that even if you give up whatever your varna dharma is and become a devotee and execute your devotion, there's no loss. You don't fall down, you can only go forward. If you're 10% Krishna conscious in this life, the next life you start at 11%. You won't become whatever your varna is or whatever body you get, it doesn't matter. Your bhakti will be preserved. So there's no, that's why Krishna is saying, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of sinful reactions. Sarva dharma mame kam shanap aham tvam sarva papayu. Sarva papayu. What's this pap? You get sinful reaction when you don't carry out your varna dharma. If you're born in a Brahmin family and don't do all the things Brahmins are supposed to do, you get punished. If you're a Vaishya and you don't carry on your life according to Vaishya dharma, you get punished. But Krishna is saying, if you surrender unto me, there's no punishment, there's no reaction, there's no sinful reaction. You're a Brahmin, you're supposed to do so many brahminical things where you become a Hare Krishna devotee and simply engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Forget my anik, forget this, whatever. Forget my daily yagyas and forget my this puja and that puja and this and all these things. There's no reaction. That's what Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna. Forget about it. Forget about your reaction of not being a Kshatriya. Be my devotee. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. Even Arjuna is saying, oh, you're saying that you'll take all the reactions, but I have my doubts. I still have some fear. I have some fear that I may get some reaction if I don't do my duties. I'm afraid of not doing my duties. And then Krishna says, Mahashuchaha, don't be afraid. Have faith in me. Don't you trust me? Do you know who I am? That applies to all of us. Don't we have faith in Krishna? Don't we believe him? Don't we understand him? We have more faith in Varna Dharma. People are very much uptight. They have a very big problem with this. Especially Brahmins, they join ISKCON or something. They have to do so many kinds of achmans. And it takes them 25 minutes to chant their Gayatri. So I'm a Brahmin, we have to do all these rituals. Purify the directions, do Vastu Puja, and this Puja, and that Puja, and this, and all these kind of things. And then they sit down, do Pranayama for 15 minutes. Then they do chant Gayatri. But then in Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Krishna's Bhakti, they sit down, chant Gayatri in 10 minutes and just do a simple achman and go and do service. And there's no reaction. There's so much service to do, and service is swadharma. Service, serving Krishna is the eternal dharma of the Atma. So every moment to moment we're engaged in that eternal service and we're going back to Godhead without any repercussions or any reaction. So this is a very interesting point. It's impossible to fall down from your own eternal sarup. Jivara surupaya, Krishnera nityadas. We're Krishna's eternal servant. So when we're engaged in Krishna's service, where's the fall down? Where to fall down? You're going to become a shudra of Brahma. You're transcendental to all the varnas and ashrams. This is the eternal transcendental position. Doesn't matter whether you're man or woman or anyone can serve. Because this is a sarup dharma of everyone. Man or woman doesn't matter. Women, there's so much, they have problem with so many things in this varnashram dharma society. Falling down is possible if something is not part of you. You can fall down from your Brahman dharma, your Kshatriya dharma, your Vaishya dharma by neglecting to perform your duties. But how can you fall down from your Jiva dharma, your position as a living entity, as an eternal servant of God? You can't fall down because that's our own sarup. I'm serving Krishna, I'm forgetting all about my Brahman duties, is that, and Krishna, so next life I'll be a Vaishnava, maybe a Brahman, whatever. But I won't be punished because Krishna is saying there's no reaction. I neglect all my Brahman duties and just chant Hare Krishna and serve my Guru. And always think of Krishna, become his devotee and worship him. I have no reaction comes to me. And next life I become again a devotee. Maybe Brahman, Vaishya, whatever, it doesn't matter. There's no bar to pure devotion. This is our sroop. But how can we fall down from your jiva dharma? The position as a living entity, it's eternal servant of God. You can't fall down because this is our own sroop. If you become fixed and situated in our eternal position or sroop, this is our swadharma. As Krishna's eternal servant, there's no chance of falling. Where will you fall? Like a Brahmin doesn't do his duty, maybe he falls and becomes a Kshatriya, maybe he becomes a Shudra. But you're serving Krishna, where are you going to fall from? Fall from serving Krishna? To do what? And not serve Krishna? You're serving Krishna now and you'll serve Krishna next life and keep serving, then you give up this body and you attain perfection in your service and you go to get a spiritual body and serve Krishna in the spiritual world. You know, there's only going upward. There's no chance of falling. Where will you fall? Once a person is fully engaged in devotion, there's no fall down. Every other position is a fall down, a fallen position. And one is a Brahman or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya is not engaged in Krishna's eternal servant, that's a fallen position. It's a very interesting point. Oh, I'm a Brahman. Oh, you're very fallen. I'm sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. Oh, well, you're a Shudra. You're pedaling this rickshaw. Yeah, you can say whatever you can say. But I'm chanting Krishna's name all day. I'm his eternal servant. I realize that. And this is my service to chant and carry the Vaishnavas around Vrindavan. And you're all attached to your Brahman, you know, honor and distinction and your position and all these things. And it's all external. It's not the sroop. It's all false dharma. Once you're fixed in devotion, that's your sroop, natural condition. You can't fall from your natural state. What is natural is most fulfilling, most easy, and most blissful. That's an interesting point. What's natural is most fulfilling, most easy, and most blissful. Unnatural position is always troublesome. Yeah, it's hard work to pretend to be a Brahmin. You always have to wear a bundi, over here, and always have to put on a bunch of big tilak and chew some pan and carry a book around and profile. A devotee, doesn't matter what he dresses, there's nothing external because it's Sarup Dharma. It's natural. It's most fulfilling and easy and blissful. An unnatural position is always troublesome when you're trying to be something you're not. The jiva is not a Brahman. The jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. That's why the living entity is always in trouble. No matter what we do, there's always trouble, always problems, disturbance, and misery. Temporarily, we get some feeling of happiness and comfort. But most people are always in anxiety, tension, and disturbance. Because if they're not in the devotional field. Everything they're doing is artificial. Every position, husband, wife, doctors, everything. Even if we drop our duties of Varnashram Dharma and take up bhakti and later give up, still there's no loss. Otherwise, if you don't become a devotee and remain engaged in material activities, what's the gain? Some temporary gain, that's all. The diet's all finished. We only waste our time and energy and waste our human form of life, which is very rare. Human form of life is only form where we have four choices. We discussed this.
Yeah.
Remember? Four choices. What are the four choices?
Either you can get a human form of life, or there is a possibility of fall down to the lower species of life. Second. Third possibility is one may attain to the higher planetary system, Swargaloka. And the fourth is one can perfect his life and attain love of Godhead or liberation.
Yeah, I couldn't have liberation. Only if you take the devotional service can you achieve the value of the human form of life. Without devotion, you can go up and down, but you still remain in the material world. When we perform bhakti, we can give up karma completely. Tyaktva sadharmam. If we give up our varnashram duties and engage in devotional service, There is no inauspiciousness which will come to us. This is explained 11th canto also, chapter 5, verse 34. What's another verse? Devarshi Bhutata Niryam Pritrinam. It discusses there. When one becomes the devotee of Lord Krishna, he's not indebted to anyone. That's what that verse is. Devarshi Bhutata Niryam Pritrinam. Because when we take birth, we're indebted. We have debts to the devas, the demigods, the rishis, the pitris, the ancestors, other living entities, to animals, to horses, cows, goats, chickens, buffalo, bulls. Because we take service from them, and we're benefited by our family members also. We take over the family business, or we inherit the house, or we have so many debts because we receive so many blessings and gifts from superiors. And animals, we take service of them to carry our goods here and there and farm our fields and plow our fields. So we have so many yagyas that we have to do to pay all these debts. We pay the debt to the rishis by following brahmacharya. For 25 years we observe celibacy before we get married. So in this way we pay the debts to the rishis, for they've given us all this transcendental metaphysical knowledge. So we have debts to them. So all this is for if one becomes a devotee of Mukunda, gato mukundam parivrityakartam. It's parivrityakartam. All this is taken care of. All these five debts that we accrue at birth. But we're not responsible to anyone if we become devotees. But these responsibilities are there if we remain in the Varnashram Dharma system. If you remain a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, etc., then you have all these debts and you have to pay all these debts. Otherwise you go to debtor prison. You have to be punished, you'll be punished. If we take up, but because we survive with the help of others, our forefathers, sages, humans, animals, knowledge, we receive knowledge from others, from our teachers, from the parampara, we receive food and cloth and so many things. We're not independent. We're not self-sufficient. We depend on others for our survival. But if we take up devotional service, all our debts are written off by the Supreme Lord. Krishna picks up the tab. He pays all the debts. If we take the path of devotional service and we die without attaining the Supreme Lord, or we give up the path in midway, what happens? The Vedas describe duties, the standard duties for Kshatriyas, Brahmins. If they neglect, they will suffer. But will a devotee get punished in his next life for giving up his duties? No. Once you take up the path of bhakti, he's out of the karmic cycle. Once the seed of bhakti is established in the heart, it is never destroyed, even if you externally stop devotional service. The next life you'll continue and take up again. Krishna tells this in Bhagavad Gita, there's no loss for the devotee. Leha vikrama nashosti pratyavayo navidite svapam punyavati svapam api siddharmasya trayate mahatobayat. He says that even svapam, a little bit of this practice will give us the greatest benefit, and there's no loss. We don't become animals, we don't fall. So this bhakti vasana, the seed of bhakti, is indestructible because it's transcendental. So in the future it will come and produce a leaf, a flower and fruit. Those who do not take devotional service, they can actually attain no good. So this important verse, which you mentioned from Bhagavatam, establishes the greatness of devotion and how one should strive for devotional service, nothing else. Devotional service, there's no prior qualification. You just do it. Just take it up. To be a Brahmin, you have to be born in a Brahmin family. You have to get dvija, second birth, upanayanam, samskara, and observe that actually a proper Brahmin must observe the dasavita samskaras, and garbhadan samskara before his birth, and then namkarana samskara, then chudakarana, then vidyakarana, and all these, and upanayanam samskaras. So many samskaras he has to observe actually to be situated as a Brahmin and to execute the duties of a Brahmin properly in the Varnashram system. Yajan, Dan patan patan, yajan yajan, dan pratigraha. Satkarma nipano vipro. A vipra must be nipon, expert nipon in his satkarma, six activities. yajna, performing yajna, engaging others in yajna, studying Bhagavat Pad and teaching others Bhagavat or Shastra Pad, and receiving charity and giving charity. So it takes a lot of training, a lot of purification, a lot of austerity for these various varnas. What to speak of kshatriyas, how much training and austerity they must perform. But there's no qualification. Anybody, even a dog, can chant Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada said. A child, a woman, an old man, invalid, anyone can chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't require purity or impurity. If you're off the altar, on the altar, or in the altar, off or on, you can chant Hare Krishna in your mind, in the beads, or anywhere. Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita is very circuitous. Krishna talks of many subjects, but the Srimad Bhagavatam only describes pure devotional service from the very beginning. That's the beauty of Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna beats around the bush. Alright, already, get to the point. You talk about karma, you talk about yajna, gyan, this, that. What's the point? The point is, love me, become my devotee, and forget everything else. This is the point. You got it? Well, most people get lost they get off the freeway and get lost in the exit ramps. They get lost in karma and gyan and yoga, because all these things are mentioned in Gita, but they're all mentioned that these are the things you should give up and eliminate and just accept me. So these are some thoughts on this idea of Swadharma. Tekta sadharmam charnam bhujam harir jana bhakko tato yadi. So this is Tyaktva Sadharman. Narada Muni's telling in the first kind of Tyaktva, Tyagi, renounce, throw away, forget about all your so-called Swadharmas and take up this Dharma, Mukunda Dharma, Mukunda Seva. But in all perfection you will attain. Any question? Well, who's speaking? It says man mana bhava mad bhakto mam. Mam means me. And who's speaking? How can I deny that? Because is Krishna speaking this verse or not?
No,
Brahman is speaking? I thought Brahman has no qualities.
I is speaking.
But he's not saying aham, he's saying mam. Mam means me. And Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, he's saying mam. Mam yaji, he says, worship me, mam. M-A-M, he's not saying aham. He's saying me. Me means there's you and me. There's two, there's not one. Anyway, we don't generally listen to Mayavadis. Mayavadi Shunya Bhashya. What does it say in Chaitanya Charitamrita? It says, if one listens to Mayavad philosophy, then everything gets lost, nash. Mayavadi Shunya Bhashya. Yeah, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunya. There's a nice verse about that. And it says that everything is lost. Because they just say that Brahman becomes transformed. By the contact of Maya, Brahman becomes transformed and appears as Krishna in different avatars. But we don't say that. Krishna is the source of Brahman. That's what he also says in Bhagavad Gita. I am the source of Brahman. Mayavadi Bhashya Srinide Haya Sarvanash. Mayavadi Bhashya Shunile Haya Sarva Nash. Mahaprabhu is teaching Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. If one hears a commentary, Mayavadi Bhashya, Shankaracharya's commentary on Vedanta, then all destruction, Sarva Nash, everything is spoiled. So rather, hear Bhagavad Gita as it is and follow our Mahajanacharyas, our Vaishnavacharyas, and offer pranams to the Mayavadis and keep a distance from them.
Again, we hear about the Naimittika Dharma and Nitya Dharma or Swadharma. So although, I hear and understand, read and understand repeatedly that our eternal duty is to serve Krishna, but still we are not able to accept this fact with firm determination, and again we are drawn to our Naimittika Dharma and temporary bodily activities.
Navaratri. Yes, I'm fasting for 9 days of Durga. I know so many ladies who do that.
Why or this determination doesn't set in that I'm servant of Krishna and I'm supposed to just serve?
Well, that's the test. That's Krishna's giving. That's the test. Do we have faith? Do we believe Krishna's words or not? Krishna's telling this in Gita. To give it up, to surrender. This is surrender. To give it up. But we're attached. We're attached to demigods and to naimittic karmas, occasional activities, yearly Navaratri pujas. Yes, I'm Krishna's devotee, but I can't give up my Durga worship. So many people like that. Hundreds of people in Delhi like that. Initiated devotees. And they have all their gods on the altar. Ganesh and this one, that one, Shiv, Ganesh. It's not very pleasing to Krishna. This is what you call Vaishnav Praya, Prakriti Vaishnav. They're Vaishnav, their worship of Vishnu is mixed with lots of Prakriti. They're almost Vaishnavas. So it's good, they're going in the right direction, but they take a few lifetimes. Why? It's because of lack of faith, that's all. Why? So we can increase our faith by associating with those that are called Aikanta Bhaktas. Aikanta or Aikanta. They have one goal, they have one end in mind. And by associating with them and seeing their singular point of devotion and their dependence and faith in the Lord, then that will make some sanskara impression on our chitta. And we'll maybe by osmosis and by their mercy be able to come similarly fixed in devotion, Aikantiki Bhakti. All we need is Krishna, that's it. And then Prabhupada said you can increase your faith by repeatedly reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Shankaracharya's edition, Bhaktivedanta Swami's edition. So it's all based on faith, Adosh Shraddha. Ado Shraddha Tata Saru Sangha. So from Saru Sangha, we have some initial faith which turns us towards higher ideas or higher concepts beyond the demigods. There's a Supreme God. Beyond the lords of this world, there's the original Lord, or Adi Purusha, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So we turn our face in that direction due to some good fortune. And then that's some faith, but that faith has to be increased. And that faith is increased by Sadhu Sangha. And as Prabhupada said, studying, reading Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's words, because they're full of Krishna's words, Uddhava Gita, Bhagavatam. That's why it's being said here that Krishna's little circuitous roundabout in Gita, getting to the point of Shuddha Bhakti. But in Bhagavatam, they get right to it. In the first verse, it said this book is about Abhigya Swarat. It is about the all-knowing, independent Lord, Janmad Yasya Yataha, the source of everything. And then it says this book has nothing to do with cheating dharmas. Dharma Prochit Kaitava Cha Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. This is for the Satams, for the pure devotees, and those that are not interested in any Varna Dharma or Ashram Dharma. That's the second verse out of 18,000. Right? So the second verse is getting to the point of 1865. After 18 chapters, and practically the last verse, there's only 70 verses in 18 chapters. 1865, 5 verses before he finishes his dissertation, Krishna says, oh, by the way, forget everything. And in the beginning, Vedavyas and writes in the second verse, in a line of 18,000, Vedavyas writes, "Forget everything. All dharma prajita kaitava. All this kaitava dharma, all this swadharma, kshatriya dharma, it's all kaitava. It's all cheating. It's all body dharma. Body's temporary. You're eternal. So anything that's not eternal is cheating. Any dharma that's not eternal is cheating. It's cheating you. The body is cheating you. Your position is cheating you. You should realize the real dharma, the eternal dharma, the swadharma, the atma dharma. So this Bhagavatam is going to tell about the atma dharma. That's all it talks about. Pure devotion to Krishna. And it describes that by describing also devotion to Krishna, but different representative devotees that don't have pure devotion, they have mixed devotion. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Gyan Mishra Bhakti, Gyana Bhaktas, Dasya Bhaktas, and finally the Shuddha Bhakti, or the Kevala Bhakti, the Kevala Shuddha Prem of the Brijvasis. Nanda, Yashoda, Sridham, Subal, and finally Lita Vishaka Radharani, the Queen of Bhakti, Mahabhav Sarupini. This is the topmost expression of pure bhakti in Braj, Braj Bhakti, and specifically the highest expression of pure bhakti in Braj. It's called Kevala Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Ekantika Bhakta, Ekantiki Bhakti. That's in Srimati Radharani's pure love for Krishna. So the Bhagavatam brings us to this culmination. It starts off with, this book is for those interested in pure bhakti. purebhakti.com purebhakti-com, because pure bhakti is minus calm. Calm means lust, material desire. purebhakti-com dash means minus calm, not dot com. Yes.
The chapters on karma, were they the initial chapters that you were talking about?
Excuse me, what did you say?
The initial chapters that you were talking about, the shlokas, the 500 shlokas.
Yeah, they're all throughout the Bhagavad Gita.
But that they were initial, were they a stepping stone to the latter message, to the final?
Yeah, it's a complete course. If you study any course, there's a beginning, middle, and end, and a conclusion. You study science or chemistry or biology or any. So this is vigyan, atma vigyan, spiritual science. So to establish, whenever you want to establish some premise, or if you want to define something, not only do you have to know what that substance is, but you have to know what it isn't. So in defining something, you say this is not this, it's this. Gold is not bell metal. Gold is not brass. But gold is this. This is the chemical structure of gold. This is the characteristics of gold, the weight, the behavior, etc. So to establish, for example, a Nectar of Devotion or other books of the Goswamis, Bhakti Sandarbha, to establish what is Shuddha Bhakti, Nyabhilashita Shunyam, they first describe what is not Shuddha Bhakti. Karma Mishra Bhakti is not Shuddha Bhakti. Gyan Mishra Bhakti is not Shuddha Bhakti. And the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila's teaching is all about the bhakti and the modes of nature. Tamasic bhakti, Rajasic bhakti, Sattvic bhakti, then transcendental bhakti. So that's all the things we don't want. So the same thing, Krishna is saying, these are the things that are not pure bhakti. Karma is not pure bhakti. Jnana is not pure bhakti. And yoga, Ashtanga yoga. So these are all described. And Sankhya, it's all described in Bhagavad Gita. So these things are material. They're all related to the body and the material world. And they're temporary, naimittic. They're not swadharma, the atma. So then he finally says, all these things, Arjuna, this is all the things that you should neglect. And this is the eternal dharma, bhakti. So bhakti is, of course, is packed in the middle. There's something valuable, you protect it from the front and the back. And when you ride in your car, you don't sit in the bumper and drive your car, you sit in the middle. So you're protected by the front of the car and the back of the car to give you some protection. So Gita begins with karma, then it's bhakti, then it's gyan. Chapter 1 through 6 is karma and yoga. And chapters 7 through 12 is bhakti. And 13 through 18 is sankhya and gyan. And then finally at the end, the last few verses, a summary And the conclusion, the conclusive statement, Sarvaguryatamam and Bhavet, that the supreme secret is this. Always think of me, become my devotee. Become my devotee, not devoted to the material world, devoted to your job. I'm very devoted to my job. Manu seva, madhava seva. Serving man is serving madhava. This is a, what was this, Vivekananda's shloka. Politicians really took up with that. You got a lot of mileage out of that. This could make, turn the whole country away from God and put them in the control of the politicians. Forget about madhava, just serve man, do your karma. Madhava is not saying that. Madhava is saying, worship me, become my devotee. And automatically men will be taken care of, because if everyone's worshiping me, I'll take care of everyone. And that's what I want. If everyone worships me, I'll give everything you need. I'll preserve what you have and carry what you lack. Ananyas chintiyantamam yejana paripashate tesha nitya vyuktanam yoga shima mahamyam. Krishna's telling that. Become an ananya bhakta. Everyone, listen. Become ananya bhakta. Not devoted to your work and devoted to manush, devoted to men. Become devoted to me, madhav. Anya vilashita, no other. Anya vilashita, no, what is it? No, that's another thing. But the verse I just quoted, I just slipped my mind. The one about yoga shema bahamyam. It says, so this verse, he's saying, just become my devotee, and I'll take care of everything. Poverty, lack of food, clothing, everything. If everyone's devoted to Krishna, where will be the loss? No loss. Ananyas chintiyantamam, yejana paripashate. Ananya chinta. Ananya means no other. Your thought should be for no one else but Krishna. But now we're trying to do all these stopgap measures and this mano seva. We're trying to serve the poor and feed the poor and eliminate the poor. But still there's so many poor people. And we try to eliminate disease and sickness. There's so many sick and diseased people. So this philosophy is a failure. It's an utter failure, abject failure. Mano seva equals madhav seva. Madhav is not happy, so the seasons are no good, the weather's no good, the food's no good, there's insufficient production. Earth is withholding all the grains. And people are starving like anything. People are suffering like anything. So this philosophy is a failure. Serve men. There's so many people engaged in that, but they haven't stopped poverty, they haven't stopped starvation. If the whole world was engaged in non-sankirtan, food would be falling from the sky, manna would be falling from heaven, loaves of bread would be falling on people's heads. Rain everywhere. If it's raining everywhere, you can grow crops, you can grow wheat in Saudi Arabia. If you have rain, you can grow anything anywhere. And rain comes by the pleasure of God, not by the pleasure of man. You're spending all your energy pleasing man and satisfying man, and what's the result? They blow you up, terrorize you. So what's missing is God consciousness, not seva, mana seva. Dai gaur premanandi hari hari bo. Any other question? Yes.
Samskaras part of
Varnashram
Dharma?
Yeah, samskaras are part of Varnashram Dharma. Vaishnavas, there, that's written, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he wrote a book called Satkriya Saradipika and Samskaradipika. So the light of samskaras. Samskaradipika means the light on samskaras. And Satkriya Saradipika means the essence of activities, Satkriya, Saradipika, the essential light on eternal activities. And he mentions the different samskaras of Vaishnavas too. Garbhadhan samskara is one. And mostly we do all the samskaras, but they're Vaishnava oriented, connected to Vishnu, not the demigods. So they're not neglected. but they're connected to Krishna. Just like we do this pind or shrad. That's one of the samskaras of relatives die. But the Vaishnav shrad or whatever they say, shrad or pind, is that you offer bhog to Vishnu or Krishna. Then you invite Vaishnav Brahmins or devotees and or Brahmins, Vaishnavas. You just invite Vaishnavas, anyone, Brahmin, Kshatriya, whatever. You invite Vaishnavas and you feed them the Mahaprasad from Bhagavan Krishna, and that's it. And then you have a picture of your relatives and you offer a plate to them also. And then they get the blessings of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, so that frees them from hell or wherever they may be. There's nothing more to be done. So that's the Vaishnav, the adjustment to that ritual. It's also done, but it's done in this way. So Garvardhan Samskar, all the samskaras, he explains there how to execute them. So they're all done. Vidya Karana, Nam Karana. We're giving Nam Karana, but we're giving the name of Krishna, Krishna Das. Nam Karana is one of the samskaras. Vidya Samskaras, taking up chalk, writing the first mantra. Ah, ka, so we write ra da. Ra da. So they're done. It's not that we. Dasavita Sanskaras are reformation, or reformative, or purificatory ceremonies, or reformatory. They reform the consciousness. So they can be done, and he gives the outline how to do them in a Vaishnava way. If someone is born in Varnashram culture, if someone is born outside of India, outside of Varnashram culture, then there isn't any sanskaras. Even in India, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Brahmins are supposed to do Garbha sanskara. You ask a Brahmin, do you know what is Garbhadan sanskara? What? You say what? Say what? What did you say, man? Well, did your father, when you were conceived with your Brahmani, your father's a Brahmin, did he have... I said, well, let me ask him. And the father say, what? What that? So even in India, all these things are forgotten. They do the bare minimum. They may do shrad or pind. That's about it. That's it. Sometimes hair cutting they do. Hair cutting is also a sanskara. Chuda, it's called Chuda Karana. Chuda Karana. Getting the choti. Getting a top knot, symbol of a Vaishnava. They have this choti. Shika. But no one does that either. Who in Delhi has a shika? You have a shika? No one has a shika. And if someone had one because they came from the village, first thing they do when they get to Delhi is shave it off. So, if we don't do any of these sanskaras and become Krishna's devotee, as we mentioned, we don't have to do any of them. But if we are born in India and we want to observe them, then we can follow them according to the guidelines of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's Sat Kriya Sara Deepika.